Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the HealthCo Healthcare and Wellness REIT FY22 half-year results briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sam Morris, Senior Portfolio Manager. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. I am Sam Morris, Senior Portfolio Manager of HealthCo Healthcare and Wellness REIT. Joining me on the call today is Christian Soberg, CFO of the Healthcare REIT, and Sid Sharma, Home Consortium COO. Before we commence, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia. We celebrate their diverse culture and connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Let's turn to slide four to begin our commentary for you this morning. We are very pleased to deliver our first half-year results since listing in September last year. It's been a very busy 4 months. We are excited to update you on our Camden Health and Innovation Precinct development, with progress made on stages two and three of the project. Of particular note is that we have received EOIs from leading national private hospital operators to partner with us. These developments will increase our active development pipeline to over $500 million, providing unit holders with future earnings and valuation growth. We remain on track to meet our upgraded FY22 FFO guidance per unit of 5 cents. That is an increase of 16% over the PDS forecast. Our PDS forecast distribution per unit guidance of 7.4 cents remains on track. Driving FFO growth are $200 million in committed acquisitions in the period since IPO, including a pipeline of 13 new fit-for-purpose Melbourne Metro-located childcare assets. We have also increased HealthCo's exposure to our exciting developments at Proxima and Camden. Our acquisitions were secured at attractive valuations and improved our portfolio WALE from 9.4 to 10 years. NTA per unit increased by 4.3% from IPO to $1.94 per unit. From an operations perspective, we have achieved 100% cash collection and an improvement in portfolio occupancy from 96 to 98%. This is a testament to the portfolio strategy, which is designed to provide strong downside protection through high-quality tenants and target subsectors. This manages risk through diversification across geography, subsector, and tenant. Lastly, we have maintained a strong and flexible balance sheet with a current net cash position to fund our accretive development pipeline and acquisitions. Turning to slide five, we provide an overview of our strategy driving these outcomes. As part of our IPO, we outline the objective to provide unit holders with exposure to a diversified portfolio of healthcare real estate assets underpinned by attractive megatrends. The portfolio is targeting stable and growing distributions, long-term capital growth, and positive environmental and social impact. Our strategy to achieve this objective remains unchanged. This covers four key actions. First, maintain a diversified exposure across geography, tenants, and target subsectors of healthcare and wellness. Second, target stable income characteristics, including long leases, contracted rental escalations at CPI or better, sustainable rents, and strong tenant covenants. Third, pursue accretive acquisition and development opportunities to scale the portfolio and enhance returns. And finally, maintain an appropriate capital structure with a target gearing range of 30 to 40%. Delivering on these four key elements will position us to deliver attractive total returns. Now moving to slide 6. We have significant growth opportunity embedded in the existing portfolio as well as latent capacity to pursue further accretive acquisitions and developments. From the IPO FY22 net operating income forecast, the portfolio has over 90% NOI growth potential. This is based on the remaining lease up in the portfolio and completion of the committed acquisitions and developments outlined in this presentation. There is further growth upside in our pipeline of uncommitted developments and acquisitions, namely Camden Stages 2 and 3, which Christian will touch on more detail later in this presentation. Clearly, there is strong demand and competition for healthcare property from institutional investors. However, that demand needs to be seen in the context of the addressable Australian market across our targeted subsectors, which is in excess of $200 billion. We have been and will continue to actively pursue future acquisition and development opportunities. However, we remain highly selective. Turning to slide 8, portfolio overview and update. We have continued to grow a high quality, diversified healthcare portfolio and enhance key portfolio metrics. There are four key highlights. One, a 26% increase in the value since IPO to $700 million and an as-complete value of $880 million. Two, an improvement in occupancy from 96 to 98% with a clear line of sight to 100%. Three, an increase in the WALE from 9.4 to 10 years. And four, 100% cash collection. Our current target subsector weightings are a function of where we have seen accretive acquisition opportunities. We will target a balanced exposure to these subsectors over the longer term. Importantly, our portfolio is predominantly located in Australia's major metropolitan centres. On slide 9, we've provided a collection of key portfolio statistics. Long-term leases to high-quality operators with contracted rental growth as key mitigants against rising inflation and interest rates. The portfolio consists of a diverse range of quality tenants with national tenants representing 70%. The tenants are spread across resilient health and wellness subsectors, which are underpinned by attractive megatrends. These include an ageing population, growing government expenditure, and an increasing consumption of health services per capita. Importantly, our leases have contracted rental escalations across 100% of the portfolio, with a weighted average rent review of 3% per annum for leases with fixed escalations accounting for 70% of the portfolio. The 30% balance benefits from CPI or better escalations, which are attractive in the current environment. Now turning to slide 10, portfolio valuation summary. At IPO, the value of the portfolio was $555 million. And over the 4 months to 31 December, that portfolio has increased to $700 million in value. That growth of $145 million includes $113 million of announced acquisitions, $14 million of capitalised development costs, and $18 million of gains from property revaluations. Pleasingly, these revaluation gains are driven by both cap rate compression and net operating income growth. The infrastructure-like nature of our health assets, having stable CPI or better linked cash flows and long-term leases, will continue to underpin the value of our portfolio. In summary, we are delivering against or ahead of our projections at IPO and are confident about the strength and embedded growth opportunity in the current portfolio and the options for future growth. I will now hand over to Christian to take us through our investments today.
Many thanks, Sam. Let's move on to slide 12 to look in more detail at the investments we're making to enhance our returns and the quality of our portfolio. We announced $200 million of investments in our trading update in October. These investments are consistent with three key aspects of our investment strategy. One, they substantially increase the scale of our portfolio. Two, they are earnings accretive and led to a 16% upgrade to FFO guidance for FY22. And third, they enhance key portfolio metrics, including our WALE. Proxima and Camden Stage 1 were acquired on de-risked and attractive terms from HomeCo, the external manager of HealthCo. This demonstrates the strong strategic alignment between HealthCo and HomeCo. As Sam mentioned earlier, we are continuing to review accretive acquisition opportunities on an ongoing basis. I now want to provide more details about our exciting development pipeline on page 13. Our development pipeline is a valuable source of growth with strong incremental returns. We have $140 million of committed development projects currently underway, including Camden Stage 1, which is a 78-bed pediatric private hospital, and Proxima, a health hub in a new health precinct adjacent to the Gold Coast University Hospital and Gold Coast Private Hospital. As set out on the next slide, both these projects are on track, they're on budget, and set to open next year. I now want to move on to page 15 to talk more broadly about the Camden precinct and provide more details about Stage 2, which represents an attractive opportunity for HealthCo. The Camden precinct has an ideal location in Sydney's Southwest Growth Corridor. It's 20 kilometres away from the new airport being built at Badgerys Creek. And Camden is the fastest growing LGA in Australia. From a demand perspective, there is significant undersupply of clinical services in the local catchment area. And it's also worth highlighting that the private health insurance coverage in the area is greater than the New South Wales average. Let's move on to slide 16 to provide more detail about the three stages we are developing at Camden. Stage one is the George Private Hospital. It's on track and will open in the first half of calendar year 23, and it's on budget. Stage two will be a significant new private hospital. As Sam mentioned earlier, we've received EOIs from national private hospital operators, and we are targeting the appointment of a preferred partner towards the middle of the year. We expect that the hospital could be valued at more than $250 million, and we will target an investment return in excess of 7%. For Stage 3, we are targeting a 10,000 square metre facility, which will complement the service profiles of the two private hospitals. Overall, the three stages will provide an integrated healthcare hub for the local catchment area. We are very excited about this precinct. I will now move on to talk about sustainability on page 18. As you will know, HomeCo, the external manager of HealthCo, recently released its inaugural sustainability report. This report sets out six sustainability commitments towards creating healthy communities. Importantly, this also includes our commitment to achieving net zero emissions by 2028. HomeCo strongly believes that these commitments will help drive long-term value creation across all the assets managed by HomeCo. On the next slide, we'll provide some more colour on how we are creating healthy communities at HealthCo. Three points to note. First, our pathway to achieving our sustainability targets is focused on utilising energy-efficient systems and technologies as well as renewable energy. Second and importantly, healthy communities require a focus on social impact and providing access to healthcare services. And third, we have developed a social impact framework that we have incorporated into our investment processes. I will now move on to provide an overview of the financial results for the half-year period on page 21. Starting with the earnings summary, three highlights are as follows. First, FFO of $5.8 million. This was underpinned by strong operating performance and is consistent with the updated guidance that we gave in our trading update in October. Second, statutory profit was $10.8 million for the period. This was impacted by a positive fair value movement of $6.8 million, which comprised a positive revaluation of $23 million net of transaction costs in relation to property acquisitions. And third, we declared our first distribution of 3 cents per unit for the half-year period. Now turning to the balance sheet on the next page. HealthCo has a strong balance sheet, and I would like to highlight the following 3 points. 1. NTA increased from $1.86 per unit at the time of the IPO to $1.94 per unit. This represents an increase of 8 cents per unit in just under 4 months. 2. Our investment property portfolio increased to $568 million, inclusive of our stake in Camden. And 3. HealthCo had net cash of $56 million as at the end of the half-year period. Now on to capital management on the next slide. HealthCo has a strong capital and liquidity position. At the end of the half year, we had $456 million of cash and undrawn debt facilities. In terms of our capital structure going forward, we will target gearing in the 30 to 40% range in line with the strategy set out in the PDS. So in summary, we have delivered a strong set of financial results for the first half of FY22. I will now turn to page 25 to summarise our guidance for the full financial year. We are pleased to reaffirm the following guidance for FY22. FFO of 5 cents per unit and DPU guidance of 7.4 cents per unit. The FFO guidance is consistent with our trading update, and the DPU guidance is consistent with the PDS. Going forward, we will target a distribution payout ratio of 90 to 100% of FFO once our portfolio is fully stabilised and gearing is within the 30 to 40% target range. And I'll now hand you back to Sam for concluding remarks.
Thanks, Christian. We are excited to deliver a strong inaugural first half result following the listing in September last year. HealthCo's high quality and diversified portfolio is delivering against our core objective to provide unit holders with consistent and growing distributions. We are making good progress unlocking the significant growth opportunity embedded in our current portfolio. Healthcare is well positioned to take advantage of growth opportunities in the market with a strong balance sheet and gearing capacity. In closing, Christian and I would like to thank our entire team and our tenant partners for contributing to these results. I will now hand back to the operator to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you're on speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Simon Chan from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, I just noticed on slide 25, you guys talked about the intention to kick off a DRP program going forward. Can you perhaps describe the reason for that, given your balance sheet gearing's still net cash, and even if you spend the CapEx that you have committed to, it's still barely 20%?
Yeah, sure. I'll answer that. It's Christian here. So the DRP is being established primarily for the benefit of our retail shareholder base. It's not a capital management decision, and the DRP will not be underwritten, and there will be no discount.
Okay, so it's retail focus, is it? Because, I mean, it's a little bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Because you're paying about above FFO, and then you're raising equity on the other side. via a DRP, so it just sounds a little bit, confusing for me.
Yeah, look, just to reiterate the point, it's established for our retailer shareholder base, and it's not the capital management decision.
Okay, fair enough. My second question, so since IPO, you guys have done some acquisitions. Obviously, the biggest bucket was the childcare one, the Metro portfolio from memory back in October. Can you perhaps talk a bit more broadly about the transaction market, what you're seeing outside of the childcare subsector?
Yeah, sure. Sam Morris here. There's no doubt that investor appetite for quality Australian healthcare property remains strong. Quality healthcare assets certainly do remain tightly held and highly sought after by an increasing pool of domestic and global buyers. Our focus has been on identifying operating and development partners in our target subsector, and we've certainly created a number of off-market opportunities this way to acquire quality assets, however, have declined to proceed on a lot of them based on the prevailing pricing on offer. A key priority for the fund in this market is really to realise the embedded growth that exists in the current portfolio through developments and lease-up. Developments are certainly offering more attractive total returns, and I think noticing that forecast value creation at Camden Precinct, we certainly do have a number of development opportunities in diligence.
So would you say future acquisitions are more likely to be development projects then, rather than mature assets?
I might take that one, guys. It's Sid here. So no, we're not saying that at all. We're assessing opportunities every day. We pretty much see everything that's transacting in the market. And at any given moment, as we're diligencing an acquisition versus a development, we'll just look at what the right decision is per asset. But what we're steadfastly focused on is the model portfolio construction, and we're steadfastly focused on underlying cash flows that are growing.
That's very clear, sir. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jeff Pell from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just come back to, I guess, you know, the recent acquisitions in childcare, but also just for age care. I'm just wondering about just the health of the operators just across your childcare and age care portfolios. Just, you know, we're hearing just obviously rising labor and staffing costs. Just any concerns in the portfolio, just given we are, you know, going to a potentially much higher inflation environment?
I think the key thing to note here, Jeff, thanks for the question, is that we have 100% rent collection across our portfolio, and in terms of our tenant base, over 30% of our tenant base across our portfolio are national tenants. So we are feeling confident in terms of where we are at this moment in time.
And I might just add to that, sorry, it's Sid again. So in the childcare portfolio, what we've also seen post the Omicron wave is that occupancy levels across our network within the childcare portfolios are north of 70 to 80%. So they're trading really well. Most of our tenants actually have a waiting list for people. But again, if we come back to the model portfolio, the diversification across the five subsectors allows us to deal with these waves in a particular subsector at any moment in time. And 30% of our tenants already have rental escalations pegged to inflation, CPI. And as we do more and more new transactions, a lot of our newer transactions are also pegged to CPI. So then we're protecting ourselves onto the inflation risk moving forward.
No, thanks for that. And my second question, just along just the Springfield, you know, you opened December 21. Just curious just how that asset's been performing, and then just, you know, how are discussions going for the remaining leasing on that asset?
Yeah, Sid again, thank you for that. No, Springfield's trading, well, really exciting. We're very close to making an announcement on Springfield, but we're not quite there yet. We're close to completing the childcare, which will commence trading shortly. The practical completion has occurred. The medical centre and the health and wellness spaces are also currently fitting out. So is the chemist, and then we'll be making an announcement on the balance of the facility in the very near future. We're in advanced discussions with a T1 hospital operator for part of that space.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Stuart McLean from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just following up some maybe Simon's questions. In regards to then that the pace of acquisitions and the use of the balance sheet, when would you expect to reach full deployment of 30 to 40% and have a stabilised portfolio that covers the divvy?
I think in terms of the dividend coverage, so we obviously, it's an objective of us to do that, and we're targeting, as you will know, a dividend payout ratio of 90 to 100% of FFO. As to when that happens, it's really a function of when, as you identify, when we deploy that capital that we have on our balance sheet. And as Sid alluded to, that we continuing to evaluate acquisition opportunities, we are continuing to evaluate development opportunities. So, but I mean, the answer to your question, if we deploy spare capital today on projects that are above our cost of capital, that could be next year. But that's a theoretical forward-looking point, so we're just continuing to evaluate how we can deploy our balance sheet.
Okay, thank you. And then my second question is just around the ownership structure of Camden Stage 2, Stage 3. Do you think, does HCW anticipate exercising first rights on HMC's interest in that asset, or can you just talk to the potential structure of ownership on Stage 2, Stage 3?
Yeah, I think it's the intention for HealthCo to be the owner of Stages 2 and 3, and not TimeCo, but that will be a process that will develop over time.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions from me. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Sky Walker from Alder & Partners PWM. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions. I just wondered if you could expand on your comment about expressions of interest from hospital operators. Do you have expressions beyond your current projects and have a potential pipeline of new precincts you're targeting?
Yes. The short answer is yes. Again, we're looking at opportunities not just within our current network, but beyond that. So at the right time, we'll make some further announcements in relation to it.
And just as by way of an update on Camden Stages 2 and 3, we're really pleased with the level of response in regard to that EOI process. We will look to appoint a preferred operator over the next couple of months and work with them on the service profile of the hospital, final design and ancillary tenant mix required. And we envisage Stage 3, the research facility, that will be complementary to both those hospital facilities. Therefore, once we appoint a preferred operator for Stage 2, we will work with both of those private hospital operators on the potential design and tenant mix. So we will look to progress Stages 2 and 3 concurrently.
Okay. And this research facility sector, is that a more of a sale and leaseback opportunity, or is it from existing property, or is it a development sector too?
That's a development, so yes, that's right. It'll be done on a sale and leaseback basis, as in we'll develop it and lease it.
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about more broadly for further opportunities beyond this one.
Absolutely. We're diligencing a number of Camden-style development opportunities that do include life sciences and research opportunities, as we see that as an emerging sector in Australia and very much following the US and Europe experience.
And just one last question, just the Camden Stage 2, you've indicated a return of 7% plus potentially. To be honest, that doesn't look that exciting given the size of the project and development risk. Is this reflective of the tightness in the market, and is that what we should kind of expect for these projects going forward?
Yeah, hi, it's Christian. Yeah, we believe that's an attractive returns profile for our REIT, and it's over and above where we see other projects currently in market at this moment in time.
And okay, is that an ungeared return or is it geared?
Ungeared.
That's ungeared. That's an unlevered basis.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause for a moment while we wait for questions to register. There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.